Ryan, welcome back in to the Triple Play Sports pub here.
So, of course, last week, Caitlin Clark passed Pete Maravich for the all-time NCAA scoring record, sitting right now at 3,685. So, of course, you know, different eras. Pete Maravich came in at a time when freshmen couldn't play.
Well, and listen.
And there was no three-point line.
I don't like the men comparison to women because we don't do it the other way. I don't like doing that to women the other way.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, so she's remarkable. I mean, she may go down as the greatest college basketball player, female college player of all time. I know there's another one. Her name escapes me. Gosh,
Lisa
darn it.
Leslie?
No, more in
the
past.
Woodard or Woodward, I think.
Maybe that was it. But
she passed the all-time record that the other one had, because it was kind of in between the official women's record and the official overall record.
Right.
Because it was back when NCAA didn't sanction women's basketball.
Right.
But, yeah, she passed that record a couple nights before passing Pete Maravich's. The thing is, to me, what's amazing is they, you know, very different style of game at the different eras. But in some ways, she actually is a better shooter than Pete Maravich. Her shooting percentage was a little bit higher.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, she got that record taking 18 less shots a game.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's impressive. I don't care men's, women's.
Yeah.
When your career shooting percentage is 47%, and I think her three-point percentage is, like, even higher than that.
Yeah. You know what's amazing about all this is, you know, Pistol Pete, he played well in the NBA, but it didn't equate to what he did in college. You know, and Pistol Pete was, from what people said, and I didn't get to see him, he was unreal. I mean, he was one of these, you know, he's shooting, he's scoring guys, and kind of remarkable to me that his name isn't higher in the NBA lists based on how incredible he was in college. So now, with Caitlin, it's different, obviously. She's going to go, I think she said she is going to go to the WNBA.
Yeah, I think already declared for the draft next year.
And she'd probably make more staying at Iowa, you know? I mean,
she would, but
I mean, but from what I understand, and I don't know enough about the WNBA's teams to tell you, but I think their draft is that it's a Midwest team that has that first pick.
I think Indiana.
That will keep her very close to where she wants to be. I don't think the WNBA is happy about that. They would like her to go to L.A. or New York or something like that. But I'm curious to see what the response is in the WNBA crowd-wise.
Yeah.
You know, she is a...
She's a draw.
She's a Shohei Ohtani type person. She's a person that you go to see him or her. In this case, I'm curious. I'm curious to see, you know, what, say, hypothetically, you know, the attendance is normally whatever. And now, Caitlin Clark is coming in tonight. I'm going to guess it's double.
Well, I'm also curious to see what the viewership overall
and the viewership
is be, because that's been a real...
Absolutely.
It's been somewhat of a thing for the WNBA that the viewership is not as high as it could be. I think Caitlin Clark would really help that.
Oh, it's got
to.
Well,
the thing is, what she's doing right now for college basketball.
It's unbelievable.
Not women's college basketball. Yeah. So her game against Ohio State the past weekend, which was her final regular season game, set the highest TV viewership for a college basketball game, men's or women's.
Unbelievable.
In like 25 years.
And we spoke on this a few weeks ago about how college men's basketball is heading in the wrong direction, you know, with the one and dones and all this stuff. And college basketball for men, you know, like I've mentioned, we have to Google who's on Kansas. You know, well, Caitlin Clark's been there. And then this name recognition is built for a few years. And look, she's the biggest draw in college sports.
She is.
I mean, this is the way it is. And I am very curious to see the crossover and how it works out for her.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to make a ton of money in endorsements.
Yes.
As she should.
And it sounds like she's already signed a couple endorsement deals that they're like, we don't care if you're staying in college or you're going to the WNBA. We're sponsoring you either way.
Yeah. And I think what's cool about her, and it's not that she has any choice, but from what I understand, at the games, the away games that Iowa plays, there are young girls who go to these games who get their first and only chance to see Caitlin Clark play. She's inspiring a lot of young girls to say, I could do that. You know, I can grow up, and if I want to play basketball, I could be like Caitlin Clark. And so she's really inspired a lot of young girls today in an area that it was like, all right, it's 90 different names. Well, her name now stands way above the rest.
She is
recognizable, and she is the brand name of college sports. And I think it's great that the young girls are able to see that and now have a chance to go, hey, I want to do that. You know, I'm going to go and play basketball. Maybe I'm not going to play volleyball. Maybe I'll play basketball, you know.
Yeah. Well, and of course, college basketball in general right now, we're getting down to the final weeks of the regular season. In fact, actually, most of the women's teams, I think their regular season is done.
Mm-hmm.
The conference tournament's coming up this week. So we're getting down to the kind of final stretch here.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how the tourney field ends up. A little less than 2 weeks away.
Well,
Selection Sunday.
I'm going to throw it out there right now. I'm going to pick the team that I have picked against since this show has started.
Gonzaga, right?
And I'm going to pick Gonzaga
well, they
in
just
the one
defeated,
year.
Who'd they just defeat? And they broke like an 18-game skid for that, or an 18-game winning streak for that team. San Francisco, maybe, or one of them. One of their in their conference. Who knows? I mean, you know.
Well, I'm just going to say, wouldn't that be the story, the one year where they're an afterthought, that they become the team that nobody wants to play? I think it would be the greatest story.
Yeah, I really – now, again, we'll get into it when March Madness starts, and we'll do our brackets and whatnot. But where it sits now, not to be a homer, but Tennessee looks really good.
Yes,
you know,
they
look really good. They look really strong. And they played very well against really good teams. And, you know, they –
well, they were good last year.
Outside
they
chance
on
at a one seed. It's very close, you know.
I mean, I think last I saw they're ranked number four.
Right.
I haven't seen this week's ranks.
Could
but
be a one seed. You know, Houston, obviously, they're playing great. And UConn also throughout the season. But
and you can never count Connecticut out. I mean, we've kind of learned that.
Yeah. So it's going to be a wide open field.
Purdue's up there, but we saw how that worked out for them last year.
Arizona's always got a good team, but we've seen how that's worked out for them. I don't know. This just seems like the most wide open
college
basketball season. Yeah, but
don't count out the team up the road here, Kentucky, either, because in a tournament, for whatever reason, you know, that's the kind of team that Cal can get them playing hard. And, you know, a couple of games in, boom, you blink and they're in the Sweet 16.
Well, like a lot of people have said, they seem to finally have figured out how to play some defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that team could be very dangerous.
I'll tell you the team
now that they're putting things together.
I'll tell you the team I count out is Duke. Ever since Coach K left, I don't know. Just they're not the same culture. They're not. I mean, it's still Duke, but it's like, I don't know. They just don't seem to scare me as if when they were led by Coach K.
Yeah, well, it should be fun, and again, that's coming up soon.
So, of course, in the NHL, we're also starting to get down. I mean, only about 20 games left for some of the teams. Unfortunately, the Preds did see their 8-game win streak come to an end last night in overtime.
8-game win streak, folks, and they get the point for last night for going to the overtime, so that's fine.
Kind of ended on a boneheaded penalty with the too many men on the ice. And that, you know, had that penalty power play going into the overtime really hurt them. Because five on four is one thing. Four on three is a whole different strategy.
Yeah.
You know, you got so much more ice that if the puck gets away from you, the other team has got so much of an opportunity.
And the other team, knowing that they are guaranteed a point already, they could play just run and gun.
Yeah.
And they, you know, with a 4-on-3 in OT, I mean, that's a nice little advantage. Hey, look out. I'll touch on the Preds since Phil brought it up. So 35-25-3. Boy, you can't complain there. They are in the wild card spot now. They, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, all leading them. What I found interesting, 8 guys with at least 10 goals. That's great.
Yeah.
That just shows you how this team is talented top to bottom, and they don't rely on one guy every night. Now, it is Forsberg most of the time, but 10 guys, almost 10, and I looked at 8 of them with 10. The next two have 9. So you're talking almost 10 players with at least 10 goals on this team, or at least it will end up that. Saros with a 907 save percentage, you know, you want that to be a little higher, but come playoff time, he's capable.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he one thing I think leads a lot into that 907 save percentage right now is, you know, he didn't have that stretch.
Yeah, he had the kind of a spaz
before this
stretch,
run,
yeah.
That was, you know, he was probably playing some of his worst goaltending that he has in years.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
But during this 8-game win streak, he has been on fire.
He has.
And, I mean, this is the time of year you want your goalie catching fire. Because
the funniest thing about this with the Predators catching fire, the Golden Knights have gone cold. And, you know, it'd be something funny if the Las Vegas Golden Knights don't even make it.
Well, they're the one seed right now in the wild card. They're above the Preds.
They got the same points, though.
Yes, they do.
And I'm just saying, like, that can change. And they've been on a 3-game losing streak.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
if they continue down and the Preds keep going up, they're going to – that's out.
The team I'm really impressed with right at the moment is Florida. No, Florida. My goodness gracious. Boy, if they
have
just decided that we're going to take over the East, and they've done it, 43 wins for Florida. All right, in the East, where we have Boston and Toronto, rather in the Atlantic, 36 and 35 wins. I mean, Florida is starting to lap the field here.
But
they've been in this position
before.
That
happens in the playoffs.
That's right.
For these teams.
They've been in that position before.
Actually, 2 years ago, they were in this exact spot.
Rangers with 40 wins right now. Also, you know, the league, we've mentioned the NHL. I don't know if there's a better sport for playoffs. Stanley Cup beginning is so much fun in the NHL because of the 7-game series, because it becomes an instant rivalry, you know, right away. You know, if whoever it is, Dallas is going to, you know, go out there and play against Vegas, say, you know, by game 3, boy, oh, boy, it is so much fun. Depending on how it's going. So it's going to be a blast.
It's funny because it's even teams that aren't traditionally thought of as rivals, you get in that playoff series and it becomes
brutal.
Everything's right on the edge. But at the end, they go through that line, shake hands.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing.
Nicest
how
part of the sport.
Tight, you know, how much they will fight each other during a series.
Yeah.
Once it's over.
And I agree with a lot of folks that say Stanley Cup, toughest thing to do in all of sports. And I agree with it because you need to get through the adversity of the 7-game series right off the bat. Injuries that take place. These guys are playing every other night. There's not – this isn't the NFL where they're a week off or they have a bye week or whatnot. These guys are killing each other
and
every
give me
other
an example,
night.
Like, I'll never forget last year, one of the greatest playoff series I ever saw was Carolina and Florida, where it had 6 overtimes, and it just kept going and going and going and going. And you go, my Lord, I mean, someone has to come out of this.
And there's the sport of someone has to win. There's no rules in overtime. It's just, guys, when someone gets one in the net, we're done tonight. If that's in 10 minutes or in 10 periods, we're going to stay here all night. Ooh. So it's an amazing accomplishment to lift that trophy. And these guys go through more than likely sometimes 25-plus games.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the physical toll this takes on some of these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward. I hope the Preds have something in them. And now... Well, look, we've spoken on the NBA. No, we didn't talk NBA.
We haven't talked NBA yet.
Before that, I'm watching a new show, and I know you guys will laugh at me, but I don't care. It's hooked me. So it's called 90 Day Fiancé. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. So these shows get stupider and stupider.
They do.
Yeah, my wife was watching a lot of that during COVID.
That being said, it's like a car wreck. You can't look away. You know, it's basically the premise that these people, which I'm amazed by this, they meet their significant others, you know, usually online on an international website.
Yes.
And then according to, you know, the United States customs and whatnot, you granted a 90-day visa. So if hypothetically, you know, I meet, you know, Mary Jane and she's from Prague, she can come to the U.S. on a 90-day visa. But in that 90 days, we have to marry. If we don't marry, she has to go back. So it's very interesting.
Actually, that would be an interesting show.
It's
actually
really interesting because you start, you're going, are they here for the visa? You know, they just want to get
to America. Are
they
here for the citizenship?
Right. Or do they, are they in love? And it's so here I am watching this idiotic show.
That's the little bit I saw of it a couple of years ago, it's like, you know, the thing is sometimes there's language barriers.
Yes.
Or like the family right away hates the person.
Yes, they do.
You know, that actually is an interesting show.
It's very interesting.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
Yes, yes. You would like it. And then the other bit I wanted to ask or tell you guys about, which I thought was very interesting, and Elijah would like this. I saw an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was speaking on the iconic line of "I'll be back" in the Terminator days. So he was interviewed about it, and he was telling whoever it was, I don't remember, that James Cameron, who directed that, told him, you know, here's the line. And Arnold said, I don't like the way this sounds because of his German dialect. He said it just sounded dumb to him. I'll be back. He said he couldn't really get it out. He said, I think I should be saying, I will be back. And Cameron said to him, listen, you're not a writer. Do it the way I say 10 times, and we'll pick the one you like best. But that's what we're going to do. And he does it. And he says the first thing after the movie, you know, premieres, he says people are coming up to him going, Arnold, Arnold, can you say I'll be back? And he goes, I called up James Cameron. I said, you were right. You know? He goes, I will never question you again.
Well,
so I thought it was very interesting. It's such an iconic line that's said so many times, how it would have been, I will be back. I wonder if it would have been you know, iconic over time.
It's so funny because when I first watched that movie.
Right.
When I first watched that movie, I didn't really think much of that line. And I kind of even thought, you know, granted, this is, you know, 10, 12 years after the movie came out. And I go, that's the line that took off? It's kind of an odd thing to me.
Yeah, but there you go. Arnold, who's, I think, 90 now. My goodness.
No, he's about 75,
is 76. Is he 75? All right.
Well, it's, you know what, after the Super Bowl, we talked about commercials.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that played during the Preds game last night that I forgot for us to talk about.
Oh.
It was the one with Tom Brady and
Ben Affleck.
No, it's the MGM, BetMGM Sports.
Oh, I think I remember.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Or not Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn? Is it the one saying everybody can bet except you?
Except I do remember that. That was very
that
funny,
was funny,
actually.
And
that
it's
was
funny
because really
at one
good.
Point he says, what if I'm, you know, Tim Birdie,
that's right.
Seven-time pool champion.
That's right. Yeah, I do remember. That was actually very funny. Brady, listen, he's turned everything into gold.
You know, a fun story, he actually did his 40 time and was better than when he first played.
He beat his 40 time from 21 years ago and by a small margin, but geez, I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. How does he do it? I mean, how does he do it?
He doesn't even look the same.
He doesn't even look the same.
He looks like a different person.
He does. All right. NBA, where it stands, where it's heading. You know, we've touched on this right now at the moment. You know, Boston's up there. Milwaukee playing very well.
Yes.
Right at the moment.
I called it last week. I said, hey, listen, 3-game win streak. They look good coming out of the break.
Golden State and the Lakers both on 7 out of their last 10, and they're both hanging in those
right
two final spots. I don't think anybody that has hopes in the West wants to see either of them. Obviously.
Well, I don't know. You know. I got to be honest. I don't have
don't
a
be
lot
honest
of
tonight.
Well, that's my
to
first
honest.
Time to be honest.
All right.
That was a pitiful performance by the Warriors the last outing. It was
absolutely 7-3 in their last 10.
You're
they're back
right,
in the spot. You want to play the Warriors? You do.
Well, the way they're sitting, they'd have to play the Lakers, and I don't think Steph Curry can beat LeBron without Kevin Durant. In fact, in the playoffs, he hasn't done it without Kevin Durant. Every time they've matched up, I'm just saying.
So LeBron, no Anthony Davis?
I say,
but that's like saying, you know, LeBron can't beat Steph without Anthony Davis. I mean,
wait a minute.
You know,
LeBron
I mean,
beat him when he had Kyrie Irving, which
those are different teams. They're completely different teams.
I'm saying, historically speaking, the only time Steph Curry's been able to beat him, is when he's had Kevin Durant.
I don't get that stat though. That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm just saying.
That's like saying Tom Brady. The only time Tom Brady has beaten this guy is because he had Gronk. Those are your players.
Yeah, but in the play-in tournament a couple years ago, LeBron beat him
1-1.
Yeah,
there's five guys on the
court. Okay, but then last year LeBron did it again. I'm just saying.
What is the hate for Steph in your life? That's what I want to know.
You know what? It's you.
Did Steph hurt you?
No, part of it's you. I'm going to be honest. Part of it's you. I'm being how you are to my Cowboys is how I am with you and Steph Curry.
Right.
And I don't know.
Steph has changed the NBA.
Not for the better.
Not for the better.
Well, I mean, we've lamented the shooting aspect of the game being kind of boring to watch. We've lamented
that. If everyone shot like Steph, it would not be boring. The problem is everybody wants to be Steph and they're usually not.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
And then no one plays defense.
And no one plays defense.
Yeah. Including Steph.
Caitlin Clark has come out and said Steph Curry is her inspiration.
I mean,
this guy has changed basketball, like it or not. Changed it.
He has, but I guess I miss the old NBA that I grew up watching.
I miss it too, but listen, this guy is remarkable.
All right. Plus, I just like antagonizing you with my Steph Curry hatred. I got to get you back somehow.
Yeah. All right.
And right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder looking good.
This is a funny thing. I actually had this conversation earlier today. In my opinion, right now, if you had to ask me who was the MVP of this year, it's Shedeur Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who this guy was. Mm-hmm. And the reason I know who he is he's on my fantasy team in basketball.
Okay.
And I did an auto draft, and I got him. And I'm like, who the heck is this guy? This guy's phenomenal. I mean, you talk about every night he is putting up points. And he's got Oklahoma City as potentially the number one seed, I don't think any of us thought they'd even get in practically, and now they're fighting for a number one seed. This guy, Shedeur Gilgeous-Alexander, amazing season, amazing player.
He is. I still think the whole league, and I'll at least say at minimum the West, but the whole league goes through Denver. I mean,
that's true.
I take Denver, no matter where they sit when this whole thing begins. I'll take Denver and over the field, absolutely.
Just the West, or are you saying everybody?
I'll say over the West because I think Boston stands a chance come playoff time in the finals. But Jokic is an every night machine. It's just the way he is. And it seems as though lately, the last few years, when playoffs come around, he's not a guy that rattles at all. He just goes out and does the same thing every night. All right, let me get very close to a triple-double, and let me carry the team, and then I want to go home and go to bed. I mean, the guy treats it like a job.
And here's the other thing that's so hilarious about it. Going back and looking at his whole playoff run last year, when he had double-digit points, double-digit assists, and double-digit rebounds, the team didn't lose.
Yeah, well,
it's like
if
he got a triple-double, the team didn't lose.
Yeah. And
when he lost, he put up some astronomical individual numbers, like 50 points, 40-something points.
Trying to carry the team. You know, at the moment he stands, he's averaging 26 points a game, 12 rebounds, and 9.1 assists. He's almost averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck, man? So, again, that is why, to me, Denver above everything in the West. And then we'll see. To me, we'll see. I do believe Boston and Milwaukee have a great chance.
You don't think any team really challenges them in the West?
I don't. This guy is just, he's remarkable to me. So we'll see what happens. All right, NBA, that catches us up. How about that?
All right. That takes us up to our dudes and duds for the week.
Oh, boy.
All dudes and duds.
I'll let you guys go first. I've got a couple of choices here. So,
are we going dudes or duds first?
Let's do the dudes. Let's be nice.
All right. So my dude is a guy, I do not know how to pronounce this guy's name. I know how to pronounce his first name.
All right, let's go with that.
But his name is Eustace Anuinen, I think
that's
is his
name. That's a goaltender,
name.
Yes. What? He's a goaltender, right?
Yeah, he is a goaltender, a backup goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
Had a shutout and was shot on 37 times. Listen,
good
Avalanche,
job.
If they can get that kind of production out of their goaltender, this is not a team known for having elite goaltending. You can get that kind of production, look out.
Yeah, good game for him. All right. My dude, let me read what I wrote, my hieroglyphics. Oh, so I'm not a big NFL combine guy, but look, Texas wideout Xavier Monte, is it? New 40-yard dash record of 4.21.
Wow.
I mean, holy cannoli, 4.21.
Yeah. We have a mini cheetah on our hands.
And you watch him, and boy, oh boy, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon coming out. Texas wideout, oof, look out. He'll end up on the Chiefs somehow.
You know, if that happens, that's just.
You'll see the Chiefs' 32nd pick, Xavier Monte, Texas, and you're going to go, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Mahomes just throws it up in the air and lets him go run under it.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, yeah, Mahomes will throw it, you know, 40 yards down. Yeah. Oh, just go get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give mine to LeBron James. So the Lakers were down 21 points to the Clippers on Wednesday going into the fourth quarter. LeBron James scored 19 of his points that night just in the fourth quarter.
Nice.
He himself outscored the Clippers 19-16 in that fourth
quarter.
That's
a good one.
That's a nice comeback win for the Lakers there.
There you go.
To add on to it, LeBron James did just get 40,000 points.
That's right.
Which is something that's never been done before, so quite an amazing feat.
That's right. He's the second best player in the world.
I agree.
There's no doubt.
All right, so... We gave our
I
dudes.
Had an honorable mention.
Okay.
So did I.
Panthers goalie Sam, not Panthers goalie, Panthers forward Sam Reinhart. 6 goals in his last 4 games, and he's had, what was it, 2-3-1, whatever it may be, but nice little stretch for him in a 4-game streak, goal scoring, which is a big deal for them.
All right, and me, my Milwaukee Bucks love is coming out. Damian Lillard. 41 points. Mm. By the way, no Giannis in a comeback win over the Clippers.
All right.
Quite a win here. You know, Clippers are not a slouch team, and that's a pretty impressive.
Very nice.
Two different times you're giving Clippers getting a dunk on.
Well, they do have James Harden. Yeah. James Harden, we all know. He's a...
All right.
If we're going to do an honorable mention, I'll also give one to the Preds' Cody Glass. First career hat trick on Saturday night in the Preds' 5-1 win over the Avs. All right.
And we'll talk about that win in a little while, by the way.
All right.
Because someone here had to bet the farm on that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that's right.
And I bet the farm on the Bucks.
That's right. How
so
about
we're one
that,
and
though?
One,
how
baby.
About taking it what, there?
1-1, baby.
All right. All right. Dud time.
Oh, this is a dud I love to give. It goes to, you know, the generational game changer. Oh, yeah, he changed the game against Boston the other night. Steph Curry, 2 of 13 for 4 points. That is a in a 52 blowout loss.
Wow.
Where was the generational game changing, Kenny? What's going on here?
I guess he's not
here?
A good player, actually.
Oh, yeah, it was one of the worst performances I've seen.
Oh, my gosh. I guess, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want him on my team. My dud goes to one of Elijah's, if I remember correctly, dudes last week. Aiden Hill. Aiden Hill's just unbelievable.
Hey man, he was
Aiden Hill's playing fantastic. All it takes is Elijah to jump on your bandwagon is bound
tire.
To crash.
That is true.
And poor Aiden Hill. Elijah jumped on his bandwagon, and he's given up 10 goals in his last 2 starts. I mean, 5 goals a pop, and he looks horrendous.
Yeah, he does.
And from what I understand,
you know, I did that on purpose.
The post game
right?
interview, he said, "Thanks, Elijah." So you know, so there you go, Aiden Hill. You got my dud.
All right. Well, one of my duds was Steph Curry, so I'll scratch that one out. I'm going to give mine to Carolina goalie Connor Hellebuck. He had a little rough spell in the third period the other night. Blew a 3-goal lead to the Hurricanes, or in their Hurricanes 5-3 loss to the Jets. Gave up 4 goals and 12 shots in the third period.
Oh, that's horrifying.
So they had a nice 3-0 lead, and that was gone.
That's surprising. Horrible. Hellebuck's been very good this year.
Yeah. A rare dud for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Bet the farm. Let's look at that. What happened last week?
Oh, I got mine
so
right.
So I went on the limb and took the Preds over the Avalanche. And look at that. 5-1 win. Big win for the Preds.
Very good win. Very important win over
yes.
one of the top teams.
That's right.
Elijah had gone with the Bucks over the Bulls on Friday night, and I had gone with the Clippers over the Wizards. I went with the true nature of the Bet the Farm. Mm-hmm. You pick the easiest one you can.
Yes, you did.
So we all are 1-0. I'll go ahead and throw mine out there. I'm actually going to go with the Preds over the Blue Jackets this Saturday.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Elijah.
I'm going with the Brooklyn Nets over the Detroit Pistons tomorrow.
He just stole my Bet the Farm.
Really?
It's right here, Nets over Pistons Friday. Wait, tomorrow? You have
yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have Friday. So are they doing a back-to-back?
I guess they're,
if
yeah.
they are, then I will stay with my Friday Nets over Pistons pick.
Well, maybe, let me, yeah. It, yeah.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. Let me check.
All right.
I don't want to make sure. Either way, you can put me down for that. Nets over Pistons.
All right. So you'll either both be right or both,
we'll
be,
both
wrong.
Be wrong. That's right. All right.
You know the danger of picking with Elijah when it comes to the Pistons, because I think there was, what,
oh, my gosh, I did.
Year.
I picked the Lakers over the Pistons.
But there's no way the Lakers can lose to the Pistons. Yeah.
Listen, so, I thought there was no way they could lose to the Pistons.
All right. Elijah, anybody else you want to jump on so they can have a bad week real quick?
You know
any
what?
Any players that you want to give up your dude for? Who'd you give what? The dude for this week?
Oh, my dude was Eustace Anunoonen.
Okay, and he will now be
wait,
absolutely brutal
okay.
the
yes.
next
so his
time
next,
out.
His next time he's
yes.
in, he's going to give up
yes.
seven goals.
Seven goals guaranteed his next start. So,
granted, he was playing the Blackhawks, okay, so it's not like that's
even, true.
They're pretty bad.
They are beyond bad, so all right, there you go.
Good time for us to take a short break. Coming up on the other side, we'll have our three up and three down and a lot more fun. You're listening to AAA Sports.
We are here, and we are with myself, Kenny Mann, and Phil Tucker, and Elijah Jacobs, and we have a lot to get to still. And I think it's time for some three up, three down.
Yes.
So this is a nice little feature where we recognize teams heading in the right direction, teams heading in the wrong direction, and we do that by numbering them. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be in an order, but three of the teams that you think are heading in the right way and the wrong way.
All right. Well, I'll go first here. I got to tell you, the Florida Panthers are heading in the right direction. I mean, they just look unstoppable right now.
That's it. There you go. That's it. The poor Florida Panthers. It's over.
As soon as he said unstoppable.
He said unstoppable.
Hey, by the way.
Do not bet on the Panthers.
Listen, I don't have to jinx it. They're jinxing themselves by going for the Florida.
Yeah, but this is a double jinx now.
Yeah.
If you pick them
and they win the President's Trophy.
They're going to win the President's Trophy, you might as well just write them off.
Double jinx, baby.
There you go.
The Miami Heat, 8-2, kind of making their playoff surge. Listen, I don't think there's any other team you want to play in the playoffs than this, man. Jimmy Butler is he's marginal
best
regular
coach.
Season.
Best coach in basketball.
I agree with you, but Jimmy Butler is also really a good playoff player mm-hmm. for them. And the Lakers, listen, 7-3 in their last couple games, and
yeah.
I got to tell you, those records, that standing means nothing. If you get LeBron and AD healthy in the playoffs, it is an out. It's a tough out.
Yeah, absolutely. My three up, I got to give the Predators. My goodness. I know we lost the other night in overtime, but 8 in a row. Before that, gotten themselves in a nice spot at that second wild card. Maybe they can climb up to that first wild card. What a great season it's been.
Yeah.
Maple Leafs, 8 out of their last 10, got themselves right back into this mix. Dangerous team, of course, with what Austin Matthews is doing this year. And the Milwaukee Bucks, 8 out of their last 10 to put themselves right there behind Boston.
That's not Boston. A team I seem to have jinxed. I mean, I did say that.
Not yet.
Well, you were railing against them. Just a couple weeks ago.
You sure were. Oh, they got the new coach. Oh, it's over. Oh, no. 8 out of 10. I mean,
it goes both ways.
Yeah,
it goes both ways with
just do the opposite. Whatever you think, do the opposite.
You know, I can't really deny that, except when it comes to the Michigan Wolverines. You know,
they actually beat your jinx.
They did.
All right. Three up, Phil. What do you got?
All right. Well, I gave mine to the Predators last week. Otherwise, I would definitely put them up there again this week. I'm going to give mine to the Milwaukee Bucks as well. 8-2 in their last 10 games. They seem to have figured out whatever it was that caused that little losing streak. They've figured that out. The Florida Panthers, also a six-game win streak. And Ohio State men's basketball. They've won three straight. They're 4-1 since replacing their head coach. And even with one of those being a win over third-ranked Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that, so after they beat Michigan on Sunday,
there's some talk about possibly they
could be playing themselves back into a chance to get into the tournament. So
okay. We'll
see what happens.
All right.
That takes us to our
other side of the ledger. What do you got?
Oh, well, the Denver Broncos are on the down.
Okay.
I mean, this cut, the cap hit, and I just don't see any way this team is any good next year.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Golden Knights, my gosh, they're playing their way right out of the wild card spot. Not looking good, and I love it.
No, but you did it, Aiden Hill.
That's right.
There you go.
And the Golden State Warriors are on the down.
He's just really hammering them, my God.
That loss was so brutally bad.
You would not think this is a team that's won championships, according to Elijah.
When was the last time a championship team got beat by 52 points?
I don't know.
There you go. And Steve Kerr
was it the Cowboys? Oh, no, it wasn't the Cowboys.
See, the Steve Kerr then comes out and said, well, our game plan was to leave Jaylen Brown unguarded. Oh, yeah, that was great, wasn't it? Great job, Steve Kerr.
That was three. Three down for me. Alabama basketball. Tennessee Vols just beat them, and they're looking like they're going to play themselves out of the top 25. So this one's odd, but I'm giving it to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, they did sign Mike Evans. And it's not for anything they're doing, but the fact that they've reached out to Baker and are offering him to work out a deal, he will not, he says, take a hometown discount. I'm a little surprised by that because I feel like, okay, I don't want to say he owes them, but
they did take a chance.
They did take a little bit of a flyer on him, and it worked out really well. They did go sign Evans, so he knows he's going to have that receiver.
And Evans took a discount.
He did. I'm a little surprised by, I hope this doesn't bring us back to the old Baker where, you know, we're not liking him because he was very likable this year. So, again, I know I'm saying this is the Bucks that are down, but it's not their doing. It's just the situation right now, a little surprising.
I would have put Baker Mayfield there on the
Well, I don't like to do this for individuals. So what I'm saying is that the Buccaneers, unfortunately, I think they would have bet dollars to donuts. Like, if we offer Baker something decent, he'll stay with us. Yeah, it's kind of looking like Baker's saying, I don't want to give you a discount. I don't know about that one.
Well, and they took a chance on him,
they did.
Too, because, I mean.
There's a little bit of being grateful for your opportunities
that he
needs to remember.
I hope he does.
And the fact that he wasn't on a roster last year until
he signed
with Tampa Bay. So.
And my third down goes to, unfortunately, the NFL Combine. It's really lost its luster. I watched some of it. A lot of the quarterbacks, I mentioned this last week, they're just not throwing anymore in it. Now, I got to see J.J. McCarthy throw. I got to see Joe Milton throw. I got to see the kid from Notre Dame, who was actually very impressive. Gosh darn it. His name's escaping me right now. But the big names, you know, just not playing, just not throwing. Marvin Harrison not there. A lot of them refusing to even take physicals now.
Oh, your boy Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is starting to feel very like, guys, come on, man. I mean, I know running around in shorts and a T-shirt is not going to tell me if you're going to be great on my team. But, you know, is it that big a deal to go there and be a part of it and participate a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand a little bit of the, if you're one of those top guys, maybe not doing some of the drills.
I agree with you there. Absolutely.
But there's no reason not to do the physical. I mean, what are you trying to hide if you're not doing the physical?
Well,
you know, I mean.
I don't want to just call a single one guy out here, but when the interviews with Caleb Williams were really tough to listen to and watch. Like, just to hear him say, well, you know, I didn't give him my physical because guess what? Not everybody's got a chance of drafting me now, do they? I go, give me a break, dude. Could you come
See,
off?
Now, here's where I'll side with Williams. If it's a one physical, meaning here's my physical, guys, and all 32 of you can have it, all right? I'm going to do one physical. But I do agree with him or any other player when it comes to Denver wants to do a physical. You know, the Rams want to do a physical. I mean, after a while, I mean, how many physicals do I have to do? 16? I mean, I think they should just do, here's the physical. You know, do it during that week. Every team gets it. That's right. Yeah. Every team gets a distributed copy of it. Every team's invited to it, however it is they do this. So I don't know if that's a Caleb Williams thing or if that's just the players are getting kind of tired of that part
of it. He's the only player who has never done it, which is being reported.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just I thought of you immediately, Phil, because I'm going, oh, gosh. I know the kind of fan
I think the
Phil
Bears
is.
Are going to take him. And
oh, they're
just,
going to take him. Gosh. They're going to take him.
I mean, personally, I think I texted you guys, you know, the statement he had that.
Repeat that statement.
Asking about the the Bears struggles at quarterback, that he makes history.
Yes.
Like, you haven't made any history.
So the only.
You won the Heisman.
Yeah. The
only
comparison I have for him, not physically, but in how he's acting, is I hate to say it, but it's Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. You know,
that's
Johnny Manziel
me.
Came, yes, and it should. So Johnny Manziel came out the gate with the whole, you know, I'm the greatest thing, I'm this, I'm everything, and I mean, showing up at the draft, doing the money signs when he got drafted. I mean, that worries me. But Caleb Williams is much more talented than Johnny Manziel was.
But
all the talent in the world doesn't mean anything
you're right.
if you don't have that.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, good head on your shoulders
absolutely.
To be able to handle it.
Ooh. Absolutely.
Ugh.
So and to Phil's credit, he's been a staunch, I'd say, you know, a defender of Justin Fields for a while. I didn't realize how many in Chicago are. There are a number.
I'd
say it's very close to 60-40, where 60% of the fans want Caleb, but 40% feel Justin Fields was done wrong by this team, coach, and organization. Now, here's the fear. What's to say they don't screw up Caleb Williams? You know, I mean, that's the worry here. And so I can understand why Bears fans aren't as giddy as outsiders are saying, oh, we would love Caleb Williams. Well, this coaching staff didn't do great with Justin.
Unfortunately, the Bears organization.
Yeah.
You know, some of it, you can't always blame the quarterback.
You're right.
Sometimes it comes down to you got to find coaching staff that knows how to play the quarterback you have.
You're right.
I mean, you look at Trubisky, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't horrible when he first came out. And then look what Nagy did to him.
Yeah.
Well, Nagy made him and broke him at the same time. I mean, his best year was under Nagy and his fall was under Nagy. So it's.
Well, and look at Justin Fields' first year. He had Nagy as his head coach. I mean, and he tried to make him a pocket passer right out of the gate.
Yes.
Instead of going to what his talents are.
I'll never forget Justin Fields' first start was against the Cleveland Browns, and I think Myles Garrett set a record for sacks in that game or something. It's like, what are you doing?
Which, let's bring it back to three down. You gave yours.
I did.
I'll give mine. I'm the Utah Jazz, 2-9 in their last 10. They're now sitting five games out of that last play-in spot and kind of watching that spot go farther and farther away from them. The Vegas Golden Knights as well, 2-7 and won their last 10. They were potentially the fourth seed before that 10-game stretch, and they're now the sixth seed in the Western Conference. In Virginia men's basketball, they've lost four of their last six to fall out of the top 25.
All right, there you go. All right. We have some time before the break. Let's do some pick and choose. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. So we mentioned the Russell Wilson and where they sit now and the release of him and whatnot. Let's pick, shall we? What was the worst trade of all time, Phil? So here we go. I'm going to break this down for you. So the Russell Wilson trade was this. Seahawks received Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, defensive end, Drew Lock. 2022's first, second, and fifth round picks, 2023's first and second round picks. The Broncos got Wilson and a fourth round pick. Okay. Pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the Browns. So the Browns got Deshaun Watson and a fifth rounder. In return, Houston got three first round picks, one third and one fifth. Keep it in mind. Let's go. 1999, you guys may not remember this as well as I do, but Mike Ditka, your boy decided to trade his whole draft, literally, to go
Williams.
Get Ricky Williams. So in this trade, 1999, the Redskins got the first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, then the 2000 first and third, all for the 1999 first-round pick used on Ricky Williams. All right, so there you go. Those are the trades that stand out amongst the historical trades. Which one's the worst?
The worst one to me would be the Houston Texans trade, because Houston has rebuilt their team and created a very formidable team with a franchise quarterback, a franchise edge rusher, and they got a bunch of other receivers at the end of the draft with those lower-end picks, David Teal being one of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's worse to me, because at least the Broncos – I mean, Seattle is good, but they're not great.
Went to the playoffs?
They went to the playoffs, yes, but they're not – they didn't win a playoff game. So, I mean, the Houston Texans, that to me is a worse trade for the Browns.
I left one out. I apologize. The Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say that
I'm sorry. Let me just give it to you quickly in case this changes your mind. To the Cowboys went in 1992, the first-round draft choice. Six conditional choices over the next 3 years. Two ones, three twos, and 1 3. The Cowboys, and again, this is back in 92, they literally built a team based on trading Herschel to the Vikings. So if you want, you can throw that in.
Then I would pick that one.
You pick
because
that one?
We've seen the history of what that turned out to
turned
be.
Into,
it turned
world
into
world championships.
Three, it turned into three Super Bowls.
That's
so
right.
That
it
has
sure
to
did.
Be the worst.
All right.
Because the other ones don't have history behind them.
And
yet.
Herschel was very good for the Vikings during the year he went there, and then he had injuries.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, where do you feel these are? And these are terrible.
I would say because of knowing the end result, I'd say the Herschel Walker one was the worst. But potentially the Deshaun Watson trade is looking like it could easily match that because – okay, he's been with the Browns two seasons now. How many games has he played total?
Not many.
Six. I don't think even a full season.
I'd say about six.
Yeah, if you remove the suspension and then injuries.
Yeah.
Then when he's played, he hasn't been good.
No, he's been average.
And with that trade, like Elijah said, the Texans have already built a team that
– they went to the playoffs.
They won the division.
That's right.
And they beat the Browns.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
They did. They beat the Browns.
Whereas the Russell Wilson trade – you know, they did get 2 years out of him. They weren't good years.
No.
But.
He played.
He played. And maybe with a different head coach this past season, maybe things would have been different. You know, maybe someone that didn't clash with him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'd have kept him. That's kind of one of those trades that.
Yeah.
There's a few factors that you could look at. Okay. But, I think the Herschel Walker one, for now.
Okay.
Yeah,
but the Deshaun Watson one, I think, has a potential to go down as the worst.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say it is the Deshaun Watson one, above the Dallas, knowing what I know, that Dallas has Super Bowls. And here's the only caveat I add to it. Cleveland hurt its own fan base with this. They didn't want him. They still are very upset that they have him on their roster, and in all these other trades, yes, you can say Seattle. Not many Seattle fans were crying that Russell was gone. They were okay with it.
I think a lot of them were kind of over
exactly.
it. Exactly. Anyway.
Yeah, they were. You know, the Dallas thing, again, it built a dynasty, absolutely. But that being said, Minnesota fans weren't personally torn whether to root for their team any longer, you know. And the other one I brought up, which was the Mike
Ricky
Ditka
Williams.
Thing. That was just so kooky. And again,
and
you
Ricky
could blame
Williams.
Ditka and say, gosh, you got to realize that's not going to work. But it didn't – no one in New Orleans was crushed over it.
Yeah.
They thought it was a good idea.
Well, the thing is, it's not like the Ditka trade. It's not like Washington then went on to win anything.
They
did nothing with those
No,
picks.
They didn't. But the Browns, Texans, Phil mentioned it, you know, here the Texans already reaping the benefits. They win a division. They've got what
and
looks
they
like
beat them. First they, game
and it looks like a franchise quarterback. And now the Browns are sitting there. Not only, let's throw in the money they owe this guy, guaranteed, on top of the bonehead financial decision, than to do it over not Tom Brady, not a guy that people would love to have in their city, a guy that's really not wanted in their city. This trade in every aspect is, to me, the worst trade I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen,
and again, and I'm including
pick.
What you said. Dallas did win Super Bowls, but this is just atrocious in every area.
Hey, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. That was my pick till you threw Dallas into the mix because I'm sitting there like, it gets no worse than your first playoff game.
No,
is
it does not.
Them and they beat you bad.
Yeah,
and your two picks that you traded away.
Yeah.
Did it to them. It's like, wow.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, those were some horrendous trades. All right, quickly, pick or choose. You ready, Phil? Popcorn or cheese doodles?
Cheese doodles.
Cheese doodles.
Oh, popcorn.
Popcorn.
Not even close.
Well, you're a movie guy.
That's right.
They should sell cheese doodles at the movies. That would actually be a good thing.
Well, you can put that cheese flavor
on your popcorn.
On your popcorn.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
Cheese doodles. I will eat popcorn at the movies, but popcorn, I don't know, gets caught in your teeth.
Yeah, I love popcorn, but I have so many spots that get stuck in my teeth.
Absolutely.
I can't.
Pick or choose, Elijah. Dinner alone for a year, but you don't pay. It's always paid for, okay? Or dinner alone at home every night for a year. So either way, you're going to be alone. Understand that.
Oh,
which would you pick to do?
Dinner out for a year that I don't
really
have to pay for. Heck yeah.
Do you know, I really thought about this, and I picked dinner alone at home. I don't know, the weirdness of being out at a restaurant alone every night is just, I just don't think brain would be happy with it.
For 29 years up until this year, I did that.
Did what?
Had dinner alone.
Yeah, but where?
Different restaurants all the time.
Every night for 29 years? No.
I did do
365 consecutive dinners. You can have them out at a restaurant paid for, but you got to be alone at the table or home alone. Phil, what would you pick?
I'd do the restaurant.
You do the restaurant?
Yeah. Probably because for me, I would think, man, if my meal's paid for every night, I'm going to a different restaurant every single night.
I just don't like the alone thing. It would drive me nuts sitting in a restaurant alone with all these people hanging out.
Can you sit at the locations where you're in front of the TV?
No, you're adding too much.
Oh.
Now, mind you, as long as I'm not having to sit in like a very central table where everyone's looking at me.
All right.
That's
you're okay
different.
With it? All right. I'll give you a booth.
See, I'd be the guy who'd come in and order as much food as I possibly could since it's being paid for.
If I told you
and everyone can look at me.
If I told you can order anything, forget my question, anything you want at a restaurant, what would you order if I said it's unlimited?
Ooh. That's a hard question.
Now, for me, 20 years ago, it would have been lobster. Now, I developed, unfortunately, a shellfish-like allergy, but it would have been lobster with that, like butter and something. And if you told me it's unlimited, oh, my God. What about you, Phil? If I said you can order any food and it's unlimited at a restaurant, what would you pick as the food? You're a wing guy.
Would it be wings? It would really depend on what kind of restaurant I'm going to.
Anyone you want. Pick a food, though. What would be the food that if I said I can get it to you unlimited at a restaurant, what would you pick?
Probably some kind of pasta dish.
Yeah? But how much can you go?
That's the problem is...
Two bowls, I think you'd be. That's
now,
it.
Mind you, when I was 19, 20 years old, I could have put plenty away of whatever it was.
Okay.
But
mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
I think unlimited of that at a restaurant.
How many do you think you could put away?
Oh, I could put a whole, probably 40 of them away.
Oh, my God.
In one sitting, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would think, and I've grown to really, really enjoy the wings. I'm going to go wings because I feel like if they're great, crispy and whatnot, and because of all the different sauces, I think I could sit there and put away a good amount if it's unlimited. Keep coming.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's so funny because TGI Fridays years ago used to have the unlimited appetizers, so wings and mozzarella sticks. Were
oh really?
The things that came unlimited.
Very nice.
I would get them.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm in the mood, I can easily put away 20 to 25 wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they're done, like I said, to me, I like them very crispy and whatnot. And with the sauces, I mean, God, I could see that. I could see sitting there and nonstop on wings watching a game.
With me, it would be one of the appetizers, whether it's the or a potato skins.
Right, or something or like that.
Something yeah. like that.
It'd all right, so there you go. So if you guys want to take us to dinner, you now know what we all like. There you go. Now, how about we do a little, and this has been a while, so I had to dig this out, and I know you guys probably don't have it, but I have my eight-ball answers for you guys.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to only accept an eight-ball answer. I'll pass it through to you if you need it. All right. And this eight-ball answers tonight is the free agent edition of eight-ball answers. So what did I do? I came up with some landing spots. You're going to tell me, Magic eight-ballers, what do you think of this? I will start with Phil Tucker. Phil, the free agent edition of Magic 8-Ball. Phil, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
Oh, boy. For me, I'm going to say very doubtful.
Okay.
I think there's too much talk of them trying to trade for a quarterback.
Okay.
I think they would want maybe someone that they can get for cheaper price tag right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to say very
doubtful.
You're
going to go very doubtful on the Cousins to the Falcons. Elijah, Cousins to the Falcons.
I am going to say signs point to yes.
Ah.
And my reasoning behind this is I listened to a Mike Florio interview, uh-huh. and Mike Florio's wife knows Kirk Cousins' wife.
Uh-huh.
They're looking for schooling in the Atlanta area.
Kirk Cousins' wife from Atlanta originally. Mm-hmm.
From
the
Atlanta.
Way.
They're looking at housing in the Atlanta area. So I kind of like them being there.
I'm going to say, gosh, I don't want to say something too certain. So I'm going to actually say, I hate to do it, but ask again later. And the only reason I say it is, you mentioned some good points. There's been some rumors. And, you know, if you're Kirk, nice weapons over there, too. I mean, if you're going to leave.
Doesn't he have one more year in his contract?
Well, yeah, but they're not going to. They made it clear. Yeah. Either they reworked the deal or they're going to deal him. He's, you know, and that's that. I think there's a chance here.
I think so, too.
I think it's a nice landing spot.
An easy division to win.
Easy division to win, all
especially
right.
Especially if Baker Mayfield doesn't want to come back.
Phil Tucker, Magic 8-Ball answer. Free agent edition, Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens.
Boy. Another, I'm going to say don't count on it.
Another rumored landing spot.
I'm going to say don't count on it, mostly because part of me still thinks, and I know this is wishful thinking,
yeah,
that once he tests the market, the Titans will make him an offer.
Okay. Elijah, Derrick Henry, a Baltimore Raven when free agency ends.
You may rely on him.
Ah.
Listen, this is where the Ravens struggled at the end of last year. Listen, this is a team that gets stuff done. Their quarterback, they need a running back, they go out and get one. They need sub. They need their quarterback re-signed, they do it. I think they need another power back at the goal line. They're going to go out and do it.
I'm going to say, as I see it, yes. I agree with you. I think it's a good spot for Derek. You know, I mean, he's going to go to a playoff team. He's going to not be relied on as he is here, obviously. And I think it makes sense. So I'll go with that. All right. Elijah, Chase Young to the Buffalo Bills. Free agent, obviously. The Niners weren't really thrilled with what they got out of him.
My reply is no.
No, okay.
I don't think Buffalo's going to want him. They already have guys there, and he doesn't seem to be somebody who is really wanted on teams.
Okay.
I don't really see someone wants him.
I mean, they want him on
teams. I know, but like,
someone's going to want Chase Young.
You say that, but
he's a free agent. He's going to get money. He's going to go somewhere. I'm telling you, it's the Bills.
Nah.
What's your answer?
I said my reply is no.
No. Phil.
I'm going to say outlook not so good.
Okay.
Mostly just, from what it looks like, is the Bills are trying to shed money.
Mm.
So I don't know if they're going to want to go after a free agent right now.
Okay.
I think they may sign somebody later, you know, after the initial rush. But
right.
I don't see them being buyers right now.
I'll say don't count on it also. I'll agree with you guys. All right, moving along. Oh, this one's exciting for Elijah.
Oh, yeah,
Phil
come on.
Tucker, Saquon Barkley, free agent to the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm going to say outlook good.
Mm.
I think they're good. If the price is right, mm-hmm. I think they want another. They need another running back.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to go after Derrick Henry because I think that
possible.
I think the price tag for them for Derrick Henry would be too high.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Barkley is a good second choice.
Elijah, Saquon Barkley to the Cowboys.
It is decidedly so. I mean, this is perfect. Listen, the team that did him dirty, the Giants did him dirty. I think he wants to go to the Cowboys.
Twice a year, I think he would love that.
Just to go to the Cowboys, just to run it all down their throat. I
there
mean,
you
come
go.
On now. I see it. Come on, let's get this done.
I'm going to say outlook good also. You know, Pollard, for whatever reason, they're not in love with Pollard. And
he had a lot of bad.
He had ups and downs.
I mean, come
on,
that Miami.
I do. I've told you I like the backup running back there. Is it Rico
Dowell?
Yes, I do like him. But again, he's
more of a
untested
smash.
Right now too. So they do need to grab somebody. I think they're better off grabbing Barkley than they are Henry. I think Barkley has more tread on the tires. So, and Barkley would love it. I mean,
oh, he'd
come
love
on
it.
Now.
He'd want to stick it
he'd
to the
He'd love
Giants.
Jumping in that kettle there at Thanksgiving Day, right, against the Giants. What is that? The bell kettle? What is
oh,
that?
Oh, the Salvation Army.
The Salvation Army kettle. All right, last one. Elijah. Russell Wilson. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Don't count on it.
Really?
I don't see it happening. This is not something Pittsburgh does. They don't bring in high-priced free agents. They don't bring in free agents. I think Mike Tomlin controls.
Who's the quarterback?
Now, that I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, this
so
is.
So they don't want
this would,
to pick
this
it.
Would be something way out of the norm for the Steelers to do, which is an organization that develops. Mm-hmm. They draft. Mm-hmm. They develop.
What if there's no one to draft?
I could see, but then I could see them going after somebody like Justin Fields a lot more
okay.
than somebody
fair
like
enough.
Russell
that's a good
Wilson.
Answer.
Because he's got a younger, he's got more tread. You
sure.
can develop him. Whereas,
sure.
But let's get another thing out of the way. And I know this is the elephant in the room. I'm going to say this. I don't think Russell Wilson is a good teammate. He does not seem
to be. He might be a rough-edged guy.
He does not seem to be somebody who ingratiates
but
himself.
But wouldn't he be better on that? Team with that organization and
no,
that
because
coach?
I don't think Mike Tomlin would want to bring that in.
Okay, Russell Wilson, the Steelers, Phil.
This is going to be my only non-committal answer. I'm
okay.
going to say ask again later.
All right.
I think we see nothing on Russell Wilson until after the draft.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to go with. You know, I'm leaning, I'll say cannot predict now, but I'm going to lean towards the affirmative. If I had to pick one, I'd say, you know, as I see it, yes, or likely. I do. I think the Steelers, and the only reason I say this is I feel like Tomlin knows, soon my seat's going to get very hot, and he needs someone to come in immediately and run an offense. Now, I don't know if Justin Fields would be that guy, but I think Russell Wilson could be that guy as a veteran. So I'm only looking at this from the coach aspect. That a coach going, geez, I got about maybe a season or two before they launch me. I got to get someone in here to hurry up.
You think they're really going to launch Tomlin? They've had three coaches in their existence.
Listen, by using the word launch, that's not what I mean with Tomlin, of course, with that organization. Let him go? Sure. I mean, listen.
I don't see it.
Oh.
A couple losing seasons, they will.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough division. You got to win.
They stood by the guy before. What's the guy?
Cowers.
Who?
Cowers.
They stood behind him through the highs and the lows. I don't see it.
What's worse to lose as the Steelers? T.J. Watt or Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin. He's
that's worse to lose.
It's the worst.
They were 1-10 without T.J. Watt.
You're right, but Mike Tomlin had a hand in developing and drafting him. I mean, you can't.
Okay.
I mean, Mike Tomlin has not had a losing
Tomlin,
season.
But every coach has his run.
He has not had a losing season.
Fair enough.
I
but you want to be the Jeff Fisher of the AFC North?
Wait a minute.
You know, 8-8 for the next 3 years?
That is,
you don't want to be that.
7-9s.
I'm just saying, do you want to be that though?
That was a bad comparison.
I don't know. Do you want to be that
mediocre?
Doesn't work.
Mediocre record in your division.
But wait a minute.
Is not where you want to be.
He sweeps Baltimore. He swept them this past year.
Yes. Did he get them in the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, he did. They played Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, and they got destroyed.
No, they got destroyed because T.J. Watt got hurt. That's different.
Who I just said is more valuable right now than the coach.
Well, but wait a minute here.
Okay. All right. All right. Shush. I'm done with you. All right. Do we have another break to take, or did we overbreak today? What are we doing here? Give me an update before I begin.
Well, if you want, we can just wrap things up.
Let's just go. I have a few more things for you guys, all right? All right. So before I wrap it. So good job on the eight ball, by the way, guys. That worked out great. All right, which is worse and why? Are you ready, Elijah? Which is worse and why? Tua's, Tagovailoa's, injury history going forward. Or Joe Burrow's injury history going forward. Which is
Tua Tagovailoa's injury history going forward because he has not been paid. Joe Burrow's got his contract. He's got his guaranteed money, so he is going to have that money no matter what.
Not from the player standpoint, from the organization standpoint.
Joe Burrow's injury history.
That's
because
worse.
He is that team. If he's down, that team is eh. Whereas I think Miami can win without Tua.
Okay. Which is worse and why, Phil? Tua's injury history going forward for the team or Joe Burrow's injury history going forward for the team?
For me, it's a close one because, you know, Burrow has played full season, got them to the AFC Championship game, got them to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
But Tua, it seems like, has missed a couple games every year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Burrow, just because the nature of his injuries that he's had are a lot more catastrophic than...
Or could be, you know.
You know, he's had more season-ending injuries than Tua, whereas Tua seems more he gets banged up.
Okay. I'll say it's worse than Joe Burrow, and the reason is because... when he's healthy Joe Burrow, that franchise is as good as any franchise in the league. I mean, he went to a Super Bowl. He's remarkably good. Tua is very good when he's healthy. I'm not sure he's Joe Burrow good.
Oh, he's not.
I agree with Elijah. I think the right quarterback can come into Miami and probably play well. I'm not sure... A different quarterback other than Joe Burrow can do what he's done in Cincinnati. It would crush the Bengals franchise if Joe becomes an injury-laden player.
Yeah.
That would really crush that franchise because they see what could be so close. Whereas I think with Tua, I think he's looked at as a very good quarterback when healthy, but I don't think much more than that. Like, you know, he's not looked at as a Josh Allen, a Joe Burrow, a Mahomes.
No, he's kind of that next tier.
Yeah, so I think Miami can absolutely survive Tua going down. The Bengals season's over when Joe goes down.
Yeah.
So that's it. All right. All right. Last one. Are you ready? Phil.
All right.
Which is worse and why? Non-sports. Which would be worse for you and why, Phil? Telling you you can only eat canned food for 1 month, so everything, every meal you eat has to come out of a can. Or telling you you can only eat cold food for 1 month. So every meal has to be cold, meaning not necessarily cold, but it can't be a warm meal, hot meal, anything like that. Which would be worse of those two for you, Phil?
That's pretty easy for me. The worst would be the cold.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I was single for plenty of years.
What would you eat there for
I
breakfast?
Had a lot of...
It's got to come out of a can.
Spam.
Spam, there you go. He found a canned food he liked. Okay.
Yeah, I've eaten plenty of
canned
food.
Corned beef hash, right? You can have corned beef hash out of a can.
I don't know if I've ever had that out of a can.
Very good. Little potatoes, anything. All right, Phil, Elijah, what would be worse for you? Canned food for 1 month on every meal or cold food for 1 month for every meal?
I think it would be the canned food
for me.
That'd be worse? I don't eat a lot of stuff that comes out of a can for the most part. So
what would you eat? Obviously, breakfast, you'd have cereal.
And that was the other thing I was going to add to this. You know, I worked night shift for a long time, the graveyard shift. So, really, breakfasts, I didn't really, the whole breakfast, lunch, dinner thing really kind of lost after that. So, like, I could very easily just eat sandwiches, you know, cold cuts and stuff like
that.
So
what would you have, though? So you'd have cereal, maybe a sandwich, and then what about for dinner? Another sandwich?
Probably another sandwich.
All right. I think worst for me would be the cold food. I agree with Phil. I think I could probably be okay with the cold food for a week or so, but, man, a meal, you sometimes need a warm meal, you know, something heated up. I think I can survive with the cans because I can find something, like you said. Hell, I can't even get veggies out of a can, you know?
Yeah,
you can get the cream corn and whatnot. So I can probably find a lot of different things in a 30-day span. I'm not sure how much I can come up with for cold food after a while.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, sandwiches, salads. But I feel like I'd lose it after a while.
Vegetable
platters.
I feel like I have to have at least one hot
meal right?
A day.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I eat all my vegetables cold.
So. You don't heat up your veggies?
Nah.
Really?
Never have. I've always eaten them kind of cold, and I drink a lot of green juice.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that explains a lot now.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
I'm a little bit of an odd bird, okay?
Shut the front door.
Thank you, Captain.
You are
obvious.
Not. And this just in, water is wet, Phil. I heard that's another thing that just came in. So there you go. That's which is worse and why. A lot of sodium in those cans, though. That's the only bad
thing.
Yeah. That's what I was
would
thinking.
Would not want to do it for more than the sodium. Yeah.
I can only imagine what your numbers would look like if you did blood work before and after eating all of that. So, but there is a lot of sodium in cold cuts, too. So,
It depends on the ones you get.
That's true. You can get the lower sodium.
Not Boar's Head cold cuts. Boar's Head cold cuts seem to be.
Lower sodium. So. All right, so there you go. That's which is worse and why tonight. And I'm glad we got to do 8-Ball Answers. It's always a lot of fun. So, great show.
Good deal.
Great show.
I think that wraps it up for us for the week. We will be back with you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And getting inching closer to a lot of big events coming up. So
March Madness
coming up.
The draft.
Now we do have spring break coming up the week after that.
Yes.
We will probably do a shorter show that week because that is also the kickoff of March Madness tournament. So we'll want to do our brackets that week. So we'll have a lot coming up in the next few weeks. This has been Triple Play Sports.